interest rates are rising, and the Fed intends to raise interest rates even further. As rates rise, the value of your bond funds will fall. Are you prepared for the next bond bear market? It has been almost 36 years since we've seen the last, and there's a high probability that another bear market in bonds has just begun. Long-term interest rates have been rising steadily since last fall. It's time to think about protecting capital. That's where Financial Sense Advisors can help you. Protect capital by designing a customized portfolio that can provide you with predictable income. Don't put your hard-earned wealth at risk. Call us today.
So give us a call at Financial Sense Advisors. As investment fiduciaries, we put your interest first. Let us help you design a portfolio that provides predictable income and protects your capital. Call now, toll free, 888-486-3939. That's 888-486-3939 to let us help you design a portfolio providing predictable income and protecting your capital. Securities offered through Financial Sense Securities Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Financial Sense Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
The Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. And you know, over the years here on the program, we have discussed the topic of sequence risk and the necessity of avoiding bear markets, especially at the beginning of retirement. Sequence risk, referring here, of course, to events that happen in a sequential chain and what they do to your investments at various times. If you're early in your retirement planning, you can afford to take the ups and downs of the market. But as you move closer to that retirement date, let's face it, you can't afford to lose half of your assets when you first retire. And if you get into a major bear market, that's exactly what could happen, because those losses would affect you for the rest of your retirement years. We've had two major bear markets in the last decade, and in many cases, it forced baby boomers to delay their retirement start, to work part-time, to downsize their living situation, or to relocate to places where it's much cheaper to live. And in many cases, it was an all-of-the-above situation. Another aspect impacting people who are planning on retiring or in retirement is the Federal Reserve's quantitative easing program called the QE program, which have brought about historic low interest rates, of course, affecting yield on certain investment instruments. So what we're going to do today is discuss the process of avoiding sequential risk 10 to 15 years before you retire, because the last thing that you want to do is to set a retirement date and then go through a bear market just before that.
And this is going to be the focus on what we're going to talk about here today, John, is not only avoiding sequence risk, because we've always talked about that, but we've done it in terms of, okay, you're retired already. You don't want to go through a bear market at the beginning of that retirement. But what I'm referring to here is, let's say you're going to retire at age 65, let's say age 66. So I'm talking about that 10 to 15 year period before you head into retirement. And I want to go back and just give you an idea why this is important. Imagine that you were turning 50. At the beginning of the last decade, when we were going through the internet bubble, we were in the new economy, a tech revolution, and it seemed like at the time we were told this would continue forever. Well, guess what? It didn't. From its peak in March of 2000, the S&P lost 50% of its value by the summer of 2002. So for almost a three-year period, stocks continued to fall. And imagine what it was like going through that period of time. Now, that's assuming you were in the S&P. Many people were more aggressive, and depending on their mutual funds, the NASDAQ lost over 70% of its value. And here's the important point. It would take almost 5 years before the S&P 500 would ever reach that level again. So not only did you experience a 50% loss over a 2-year period, it would take you another 5 years to the year October 2007 just to break even. So for basically 7 years, your account went nowhere.
Yeah, but in this case, Jim, as stocks got back to that break-even point, it was right about 2007, and talk about rotten timing, that was the beginning of another bear market, and that was even worse.
Yeah, because just at the point the stock market reached its peak once again in October of 2007, so just as you got back to break-even, the next bear market unfolded, this one lasting almost 18 months, taking the market down this time 58%, and it would take another almost 5 years to get back even. You would have to wait till April 2013. So if you were, for example, in an index fund, let's say that's what you were using in your 401k program or just an equity fund, John, your equity fund or your index fund virtually went nowhere 13 years. So just imagine somebody retiring in the year 2000, or even worse, somebody turning age 50 in the year 2000, and then going through the experience of two major downward turns in the market, bear markets with losses over 50%. And the higher the markets go, the higher the valuations, usually the steeper the decline when you get into a bear market. And so if you were in these kind of funds, that's what you do not want to do. You want to be actively managing what you're doing. And this is why these kind of bear markets, either at the beginning of your retirement or 10 to 15 years prior to the time you plan on retiring, could have a major impact on the outcome.
So not only do you want to avoid bear markets when you're getting ready to retire, you want to avoid bear markets long before that retirement period so that you preserve the value of your assets. You don't want them to go on this roller coaster ride.
No, you don't. And this is the real risk that investors face today. The markets have gone up. It reminds me of a very similar period of the 80s and 90s. The markets have gone up for 9 years now, so there's a bit of complacency that's been coming in here, not just for stock investors who are passively invested in index funds, but John, also bond investors as well. We've seen, at least in my working career, we've seen interest rates decline for 36 years. Now, they are climbing again. They bottomed in the summer of 2016, and they've been rising steadily since last fall. So if you are in bond funds, you aren't making any money, and things are actually getting worse. You're actually losing money.
Jim, since the majority of wealth is tied up in the equity of people's homes and their 401ks, those seem to be the two hot spots we should address here.
You know, next to home equity, when you take a look at most people that head into retirement, they have two major assets, the equity in their home. Some of them might have it paid off or they have a lot of equity, or they have it in their pension system, either a 401k plan at work, 403b if you're a teacher, 457 plan if you're in government. So these pension plans are the biggest retirement assets. The unfortunate thing, John, is most individuals manage them passively. Maybe you started working for a company and you had to pick a bunch of mutual funds and basically you leave them there. They show that most 401k investors tend to, you know, allocate their assets and they just kind of leave them there. And that's probably okay if you're 25, 35, or 45, because you've got 20, 30, maybe even 40 years before you retire. That does not work out if you are age 50 or 55 or even 60. You know, once again, going back to the example of the last decade, assuming you were 50 years old in the year 2000, you went through two major bear markets that took the stock market nowhere for a 13-year period. So we've seen people experience two bear markets, and that produced zero returns. So instead of just passively, let's say, letting your funds remain static or passive, you need to manage them to avoid a major bear market so you don't lose money and protect capital, or at least minimize bear market drawdowns. And this is very important, not only just before you retire, but also during your retirement too, and especially during the early years.
Jim, it would seem like it's a lot harder to do what you're talking about if everything's piled into a 401k, because you really don't have the means to access the things you can manage in a bear market, like individual bonds, short funds, all of those things, because it's basically in the plan.
Well, I mean, it is a little bit harder to do in a 401k plan, because most 401k plans are going to put you in a mutual fund, or they'll have a mutual fund family. Maybe some of them today are branching out with some individual sector ETFs or sector funds. But the thing that you do have is most plans will have an assortment of funds to diversify. They'll have long dated bond funds, corporate, treasuries, international bond funds, emerging market. Some will have short-term funds. And then when it comes to stocks, they'll have large cap stocks, small cap stocks, international, value versus growth. So if you can't do what we do, and managing money, at least you can get defensive. Like, for example, we know that interest rates peaked in the summer of 2016. So you don't want to be in long-term bonds right now because you're losing money. Best example are the two popular ETFs that are used by investors, LQD, which is corporate bonds, and TLT, which is treasuries. Both are down for the year and losing money, and they were down last year. But you do have like money market funds, short-term bond funds, and you can move money into a more defensive position so you're better able to protect your capital, which is really what you want to do.
But most professionals have difficulty timing the market. I mean, look at all the surprises we've been through. We had the tech bubble bursting, then we had the crash. Look at what we went through just a week or so ago here. Nobody, none of the professionals, gets the timing perfectly accurate. If they do, it's a happy accident. Okay. So you have to deal in wider generalities.
Well, I mean, nobody's going to time the market. We've seen market timing services. We've seen some that have gotten close to the top. Some have gotten close to the bottom. I haven't seen it done very consistently. So you are right. No one gets out at the top. But, you know, once again, the top is a process. It's not something that, you know, eventually there is a day that the market reaches a peak, but you can see that peak coming because there are plenty of signals that you're going to get before that ever happens at the top. And that's the thing that you have to pay a lot of attention to, is what is going on in the market. And when things begin to look like they're getting toppy, the economy is beginning to slow down, the Fed is getting more aggressive in its rate hikes, you know, sooner or later, trouble is coming to the market.
It would seem that right now we're getting some kind of a warning, because I know you've often talked about the sequence in which markets go through a top, and they tend to follow this pattern all the time. First bonds top out, then stocks, and then commodities. And now we're also with the Fed in a rate raising cycle. So this would seem to me to be a harbinger of we're almost there.
Well, I mean, the first clue right now, it begins with the Fed rate raising cycle. And as we talk on the weekend programs, every recession since World War II and most bear markets have been preceded by a Fed rate raising cycle. So we've already had our first warning. The Fed started to raise interest rates. They talked about it for many years, but they did it for the first time in December of 2015. They raised it again in 2016. Last year, they raised it three times. And this year, they're talking about maybe three, possibly four rate hikes. So, John, we've got plenty of warnings here that have come. And, you know, as we talked about, we've already seen interest rates peak in the summer of 2016. They've been rising steadily and have moved up quite a bit in percentage terms since September of last year. So, you know, if you are like many investors in long-term bond funds because you're looking for income, if you have those long-term bond funds in your 401k, you know, you're better off now switching to like a short-term bond fund where you have less risk of rising interest rates, or getting that portion into cash so you can protect capital, because now the price losses in your bond fund are exceeding what you're getting in income. So you are now losing money. So it's really now a time, if you are invested in those bond funds, you should be protecting your capital. And then let's talk about the stock portion of your 401k. As you've heard us talk here on the program, even people like ourselves are not 100% invested in stocks, nor should you be, and especially if you are over the age of 50. So as we have seen the Fed rate raising cycle begin, as we have seen bonds top out in 2016, and now they are declining in value, you should be, number one, diversified. You don't want to have everything in one asset class. And number two, you should be getting more defensively. Maybe have less money in stocks than when, let's say, you were fully invested. And if you are in a bond fund, you should definitely begin to start moving into shorter term maturities if you have that, or you're allowed to have that in your 401k programs. Most 401k plans today, John, have a wide assortment of funds, especially if you're with a big company. So you might want to shift into, let's say, short-term bond funds. And, you know, don't think if you're going to go into international bond funds, you're really diversified, or if you're in international stocks, you're really diversified, because in market downturns, markets are correlated. Stocks are correlated. Bonds are correlated, as we saw in this corrective phase that we're going through now. But you can take some defensive action along the way versus just, you know, waiting till after the effect. Because don't forget, in like during the bursting of the tech bubble, it wasn't until the fall of 2001 that the media finally woke up and said, oh my goodness, we're in a bear market. Because up until that time, nobody was saying that. They still had this belief in technology, the internet, and everything that was transforming the way the economy worked, that everybody thought it was a corrective phase. The problem is, stocks kept going lower, lower, and lower, even though now, by 2001, the Fed was lowering interest rates, just as in 2007, the Fed began to lower interest rates, but it was too late. The economy was already heading into a recession, and a bear market was already forming and beginning in the market.
So, point here is, you are not going to time the top perfectly, but you can start as you see the symptoms arriving, you know, the warning flags. You can begin adjusting things ahead of time so that the top doesn't catch you by surprise.
Yeah, you can. I mean, we did a study on markets. Nobody is going to ever get out of the market at the top, nor are they going to be smart enough to get in the market at the very bottom. But what you can do is follow the fundamental factors, technical factors that tell you that, look, you're getting close. So maybe you don't get out at the top, but maybe you miss two-thirds of the downdraft. And likewise, you don't get in at the bottom. Maybe you miss maybe 20% or a third of the upturn, but at least you have preserved your capital, avoided a major downdraft, and you get in fairly reasonably close to the bottom, so you can enjoy the upturn. The important thing is, you don't want to go through these 50 to 60% drawdowns in your portfolio when you are 10, 15 years away from retirement. And that's the real issue here, John, is you do this gradually. Just on the weekend, we always talk about this sequence of risk that you get in as markets top. Bonds top first. So we already know that. Bonds have already topped. What's the next asset class to top, it's going to be stocks. Right now, stocks are still running, but you don't want to be fully invested. And then finally, the last sector to top is commodities. So just as, like, for example, in managing money, we have made allocation changes to reflect these market changes in our client accounts. We are invested for the end of a cycle, and we're not 100% invested. And that's why you really have to take an active participation here with your money, because this is your retirement. You know, it's your responsibility.
Yeah. And the real trend, Jim, is that even if people do get out at the top after the market is bottom, quite often they're too scared to get in. And a lot of people during the last time jumped out at the bottom. I mean, the worst time to jump out, that's where they jumped out. So what it really is, especially if you want to sleep at night and can't deal with the roller coaster, you do need an advisor. You need to be educated, be active, or have a money manager, something like that, that takes some of the decision stress off of you.
You really do, because that's where an advisor really comes in. It can hold your hand. For example, if we're going through a correction and say, look, this isn't the big one, just hold on, this thing is going to come back. Just take a look at what happened a couple of weeks ago. And the other thing is, you know, working with your advisor. Let's say you have an advisor, letting them know, like, you know, you're 50 years old and say, look, I want to retire in 15 years. I want to retire when I'm 66, or maybe you're 55 and you tell them you want to retire at 66. So your advisor knows. And then if you are feeling a little uneasy, like the last correction, you know, discuss that with your advisor and talk to them about where they see the markets are, where they are now, and make sure that your advisor just isn't passively managing your funds, where they basically, you know, they give you a pie chart, they put you in a bunch of funds and they leave you there. Well, you know, what value are they if they're not actively managing that for you as markets change and as you personally change as you get older? Maybe you have family situations, health situations, but you always need to be managing your money, because it's up to you. It's your money. And if you're working with an advisor, you need to express that.
Jim, your firm manages 401ks. I mean, you also handle individual 401ks, not just corporate or business oriented, and you can set them up. How does all of that work when you want to set up a 401k?
We not only set up 401k plans and work with business owners, but the other thing that we did, and this came a couple of years ago, it actually started in 2011, where we had almost what was close to a bear market, where the stock market corrected close to 20%. So a lot of our clients, especially those who have their major asset tied up in a 401k plan, and they said, look, you know, I'm not managing this. Can you help us? And so what we do is we get a hold of your plan. We take a look at, you know, the various funds that you have, and then we give you alerts when to make changes. Like if we see an asset allocation change as the market changes, as we just recently did with our clients, we have been making major changes. We alert you because you are going to be the one that has to do it. So we send you an alert and say, look, I'd move out of your long-term bond fund. I'd move into short-term bond funds and then also put some in cash, or, you know, this is the sector funds I would be going in now. And so we alert you. So we watch over your account, but we also alert you when there needs to be changes, because most people that work for a large company, they're not going to allow people like ourselves to call up and make those changes. You have to make that as an employee. But that's something that we do, John, for a nominal fee. It's very small, but, you know, it's too big of an asset to leave unattended. And it's one of the reasons why we started doing that. It was basically a request coming in from clients after going through a lot of market turmoil.
Yeah. And I think the key point here is that what you need to do is manage your 401k plan very, very aggressively, very actively. You don't want to be passive, because you don't want to go through the downturn like we went through after the crash.
No, you really don't. And especially when it starts to become a significant asset, you know, if you've been contributing to a 401k plan 20, 30 years, you know, you're probably building up a sizable nest egg for yourself. And especially if you have matching funds coming from your employer, that would make it even more important. And so this is why, John, this whole idea of set and forget or passively, you know, we've gone beyond that. This isn't the beginning of the 80s where we'd have a 20-year run on assets. For example, the last decade, we saw two bear markets over 50% losses. And so far, we've gone 9 years in this bull market, and we just got a recent correction of 10% or more. So you have an idea of what it's like to go through a downturn. Imagine what it's going to be like if you see something like a 40, 50% downturn in the markets, what that could do to your retirement, especially if you're 5, 10 years away. You just don't want to do that.
And we'd like to tell everybody that tomorrow on the program, Jim's guest is going to be Daniel Borenstein. He's going to be talking about pension risk and what they're facing right now, especially given the nature of where a number of different state pension programs are headed towards being underfunded. All right, it's time for our real-life case study, which we do every week here on the program. All of our real-life case studies are hypothetical illustrations based on real-life examples. Names and circumstances of any persons involved have been changed, and we do have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that are being made. All right, Jim, who are we up with this week?
This week, we have the case of Carlos and Laura Martinez, and this was really a case and kind of fits in with what we've been talking about here on the program. Can you afford to retire in a recession? Carlos is age 63. Laura is age 64. They both would like to retire now. Based on the health questionnaire, Carlos's life expectancy is 86, 88 for Laura. Fairly moderate in terms of conservatism when it comes to investments. Carlos was basically an engineer, but he was recently laid off and given a severance package. At this point, he would prefer not to have to find a new full-time job, especially going to work for another company. Carlos would either like to retire or look at taking on a less stressful job that would maybe not pay as much. He's concerned about the timing of retirement and the current shape of the economy, especially since his recent layoff. Laura, on the other hand, is a paralegal. She's worked for the same firm for about 20 years. She's really concerned about their ability to retire, covering rising costs, as many retirees fear, because they've seen what's happened to medical and other costs. She would like to maintain the same standard of living, but if possible, would like the idea of moving to Portland to be closer to their grandkids. And especially, you know, when you live in a state like California, it gets to be so expensive that it's really something that, you know, a lot of our clients, John, I would say almost 20-25% now are relocating, and it's mainly due to cost. Now, some of the other things that we were looking at in their plan is, number one, could they retire? That was the big one. Number two, protecting their nest egg. Three, they would like to spend time closer to family and maintain the same standard of living. And that's why they talked about perhaps going to Portland. Their essential budget was about $70,000. Discretionary budget was close to $26,000, so about $96,000. Laura's salary was $48,000. So they had a shortfall of $48,000 because obviously Carlos lost his job and lost that income. Essential budgets, they thought in retirement, they could reduce that to 62, maybe discretionary, close to 22. So roughly about 84,000, which would bring a shortfall with Social Security of 46,000. So Laura would have to work to maintain their present lifestyle because we had a shortfall of 38,000. Now, the good news was their primary residence was worth about 850. They owed about a little over 500,000 against that. They had land, which was free and clear, with about 30,000. Carlos's retirement from the defense contractor was 941,000. They had 28,000 in a joint account and 65,000 in cash and precious metals. So total investment assets were about $1,000. So one of the things that we were dealing with, especially, you know, you can imagine what you're feeling if you get laid off. What you're feeling about the economy, even though it's booming, unfortunately, he got laid off. So they didn't want to go through a major downturn, especially now because this nest egg was all they had. And then also choosing the right time to retire because Carlos really did not want to go back and seek full-time employment. You know, if anything, he would want to work part-time while Laura continued to work at the legal firm. So The thing that we talked about is the sequence of risk is probably the biggest thing that would have an impact on their retirement, because they had basically $1 million worth of assets, but they did not want to go through a downturn where they could lose half of that. So this is one of the things that we had to deal with. And what we did is we put together a balanced fund. And by the way, if you're 10, 15 years away from retirement, that's pretty much where you should be, with the one caveat right now. I would be in short-term bonds. That produced investment income of roughly about $42,000. That would bring their grand total income to almost $88,000, leaving a little surplus of about $4,000. Now, since they do not have any pensions, I suggested that they both work at least to full retirement age. In Laura's case, that would be 2 more years. And in Carlos's case, that would be 2 or 3 years, because by waiting and working a few more years, they could retire and get full Social Security benefits in addition to perhaps saving some money. In order to reduce expenses, we talked about relocating to Portland from California, which would involve selling their current house and buying a smaller home up there. So they were downsizing, and as much as possible, we'd recommend, hey, pay cash for the house, get a smaller home, don't have any more mortgage payments anymore. And then, of course, conservatively invest their portfolio to avoid any major drawdowns. Now, by relocating, Carlos and Laura can enjoy the same lifestyle that they have now at a reasonable cost. By downsizing the home, number one, and number two, relocating, they would reduce their expenses significantly, especially, you know, they have a $500,000 mortgage now, if they would be debt free, which would allow them to enjoy more of the income that would be produced from Social Security in their portfolio rather than making large mortgage payments or property tax payments as they do now.
Jim, coming up in the weeks to come, we're going to be focusing a little more on market risk, because this is becoming more and more important today.
You know, John, it really is, because, you know, investors got a little wake up call here a couple of weeks ago when we had a downdraft of over 10% that took place in 6 days. And so we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk more about 401ks, various strategies that you could use to protect yourself, because sooner or later, we're going to head into another recession. We're going to have another bear market that follows it, because we know we're in the late stages or mid stages of a Fed rate raising cycle. And we know what happens every time they do that.
So we will keep an eye on that and track it right here on Lifetime Income.
In the meantime, on behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertised with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.